That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, and that wheel has rolled around again. It is once again Saturday morning. Can you believe it? And I believe it is the 6th of March. Is that right, Kyle?
Sounds right.
Yep. March 6th. John, good morning.
Morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And Jason's working on some projects, so he'll be back with us next week. And we'll have the phone lines open up here in a little bit, but it is a beautiful morning. Today is March 6th, 2013, and this is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're the Wranglers. We've got our coffee. We've got our Bibles. Kyle's is open. Mine's open. We've got them here. I know John's got his with him. And we welcome you. Thank you for joining us. And Kyle, would you open us up in prayer this morning? And
sure.
After that, we'll open the phone lines up.
Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning humbly, entreating you and asking you, Lord, for knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Lord, to put your Holy Spirit down upon us, in our minds, our thoughts, and our words. Let us come to you in a servant's manner today. Lord, we would be pleased, be honored to serve you, to give blessings back to you for all the blessings that you've given us, Lord, and they are many. Lord, and we thank you for them. Of course, the greatest blessing of all, the Son that died on the cross, that took our sins and bore them, Lord, and we thank you so much for them. And again, we come to you this morning humbly, saying thanks and going about our day and our next week, Lord, willing to serve you and give everything we got to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. And John, how are things going down there in your neck of the woods? How are you doing this morning?
abundantly blessed. Yeah, things are going good. Beautiful day, it looks like.
Oh, man, the sunrise has just popped up. I had Chris on Thursday night. We talked a little bit about some different things, and I don't know how it got mentioned, but about this time change, and I guess he said he just wasn't used to it yet. And I like it. I like the time the way it is now.
Chris isn't a morning person.
No. But, you know, the had the sunrise, Kyle, just as you were driving out this morning.
Yes, sir.
And it's just over the mountain and shining in the window here, and it is a beautiful day. It is. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for the hot coffee. Boy, thank you for the hot coffee that we got this morning. You know, my wife's out of town. I had to actually get up and make the coffee this morning, you know.
Oh, poor Rich.
I know, and I'm not complaining. Thank you, Lord, that I was able to do it. Well, guys, the phone line's ringing already. Let's go to that and say good morning. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, this is Edie. Just a little update. It's April the 6th. I just wanted it for the archives whenever somebody listens to this show in the future.
Yep. Edie, that was a test, and these two guys flunked it.
Good point. You made it.
I put it out, Edie.
What did you say, March or what?
I did.
I think you did,
and,
yeah.
And everybody said, yeah, it's March 6th. So, Edie, we appreciate that. You passed the test this morning, and these two guys have not had enough coffee yet.
Okay, well, I've had two cups so far.
Thank you, Edie.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. I haven't had enough coffee yet this morning, but it is April 6th, and it is Coffee with the Wranglers. Thought something that occurred to me. I thought what I'd mention this morning, and maybe we'd start off. We'll see how it goes. But in Hebrews 11, they call that what, Kyle?
The Faith Hall of Fame.
The Faith Hall of Fame. We don't have time to read through it, but I'd encourage you out there to just jot that down if you just have a pen and a piece of paper. Hebrews 11. There's only 40 verses. It's something that you can read through.
You see, some people go to, what is it, Cleveland, where the Baseball Hall of Fame is? And
football, yeah.
You know, football, yeah. And, you know, they go all over the world to see these little Hall of Fames, you know. And there we have it, you know.
Hey, down there just off the interstate where I come from in Florida, they have the Water Skiing Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I've never been there, but I remember when they built it. You're right. But one Hall of Fame we should know, especially, I think, in today's day and age, is the Faith Hall of Fame. And it starts out, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And so faith is not something you see. It's not like a tool you throw in your bag and you look, yep, I got it.
It's not faith.
Not faith. Right. You know, have I got my wallet? Yep, I can feel it. There it is. I can see it. I've got my wallet. So the faith isn't involved there. Of things not seen. But when it's the conviction of things not seen, it's something that you know. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt. A conviction. I remember the pastor taught years ago the difference between a preference and a conviction. You know, I prefer a certain kind of coffee. You know, I prefer, this or that. It's a preference. I'd rather have this than that. But it's just a preference. A conviction, you know, with no lead in, a conviction basically is to the death. I'm convicted of this. We should be convicted. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And his name is Jesus Christ. It's not that we prefer to use that name. As for me and my house, we don't prefer to homeschool. It's a conviction with us. Now, that's with us. You know, everybody has their own preferences, has their own convictions. But faith should be just that same thing. The conviction of things not seen. The assurance of things hoped for. It's knowing that the word is right and what it says is true. And then it goes on and says, for by it the men of old gained approval. This is what is approved. This is what is pleasing in the sight of God. I think back to the story of doubting Thomas in the time of Christ. And I think the gist of it was that he said he wouldn't believe until he saw the scars in his hand, because he had seen him on the cross. And when he saw the scars, he believed. And 2,000 years later, we still call him Doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas was a great apostle, a great disciple. Sometime around that time, I think the words of Christ come to mind as well, that, you know, blessed are you, you've seen and love Christ. But then he said, how blessed are those that haven't seen him and still love him. That's the faith, the conviction of things not seen. People may claim to have seen Jesus. I haven't seen him with my physical eyes. You read through Hebrews 11, and it talks about Abraham, and the things that he did by faith. In verse 9, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, in a foreign land. By faith Sarah was able to conceive. It talks about Abraham quite a bit. In 23, it talks about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden. You know, that's really the faith of Moses' mom, I think, there. In 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they'd been encircled for 7 days. And, you know, they didn't have any drones in those days. And they didn't have any armored personnel, MRAP tanks, 50 per state. But Jericho fell. I had my son George with me yesterday. We were doing some stuff out here at the ranch, and just out of the blue. I mean, we're talking about the weather, and he says, Dad, what was so wrong with Jericho? And me, wrong train of thought, I said, well, I don't know. What was wrong with Jericho? Because I'm thinking the stupid TV show that we watched on DVD from a few years ago. So shame on me. And he said, well, the children of Israel went in and, the walls came down. They destroyed it. And it was like, oh, that Jericho. out of the mouth of babes. Well, what was wrong with Jericho? They weren't his people. And God had promised that land to his people. And so it had to come out. The people had to have faith to do that. You read on in 31, by faith Rahab the harlot didn't perish along with those who were disobedient after she had welcomed the spies in peace. And then in 32, what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon. And we know the story of Gideon. Of Barak. And I had to ask Kyle this morning right before the program, what was Barak? And Kyle, what would you say, Kyle?
Mongrel president?
No, different Barak. This is one in the Faith Hall of Fame.
I said, I don't know what he did, but I know he had faith.
No, he had faith. And, we go back to, it references back to Judges, where, that was the time of Deborah. And, God used him as a mighty warrior and said, go out and wipe these people out. And shame them. They were shamed because it was, who says God doesn't have a sense of humor? He shamed the people because it was a woman that God used to do it. But you go on, and it reads of Samson and Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. And again it says, who by faith conquered kingdoms. How's this New World Order going to be conquered today?
It's going to be conquered by faith.
Just like in the days of old.
Yep.
And it says, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness. And I think that sometimes we get away from that today. Sometimes I think we get caught up in what they are doing. Oh, man, what they're doing, what they have, what they're doing. And we concentrate sometimes a little too much on that. And I think we get away from what we should be doing, from the faith we should have, from the acts of righteousness that we should have, that we should be doing. Thoughts, comments? Time for me to drink some coffee.
Oh, yeah, I agree. It's, but we got to be wise as serpents, you know, and innocent as doves. So God give us brain, too, to, I think, to make some provisions and protect our families and things like that. I mean, ultimately, he's in control. But I don't know. There's three things worth fighting for: family, faith, and freedom, the way I see it. And God decides that he's going to take me, it's going to be defending one of those three. So,
yeah, I go back to the book of Acts, because Richard mentioned how we're going to conquer this world. Well, they turned the world back then upside down. That's what the scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you go back there and you read the examples of how our forefathers did it before, and I'm not talking about our forefathers in Abraham's day and Lot's day, and I'm talking about our forefathers in the days right after the resurrection, right after the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was given. If you read those examples of how they went about their business, along with how the prophets went about their business, I think you find out how you're supposed to be. Because with faith, which is what they got after they received the gift of the Holy Spirit, they got rid of their fear. When the government, the New World Order boys, says you cannot preach in the streets of Jerusalem that name of Jesus Christ, they said,
Right. Watch
us. And they were imprisoned, and they were crucified upside down, and they were boiled in oil. I mean, things happened, but the big thing that they did was they confessed, you know, we have the little salvation card here that we give out or we sell or whatever we do with it, that, you know, we all know how to be saved, but there's certain parts of that how to be saved that we forget. You know, I forget sometimes that confession is part of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
We all know repentance is. We all know baptism is. We know certain things are. But confession, you know, and then I was reading, and John got me thinking about this a couple of weeks ago, in one of his introductions for church on Sunday, you brought up Luke 21, and you brought up Matthew 24, and you were talking about the end times. And so, you know, I started reading and I opened it up here this morning. I had no idea where Richard was going to go, but, you know, I just thought, well, if we go there, I want to read that. And it's in verse 12, right after it talks about wars and earthquakes and the things that happen in the end days. You know, in verse 12 it says, "But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony." And it says, "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Now he's talking to the 12, and this is exactly what they went through, you know. They were brought before the governors and before, well, the Pharisees, before everybody, you know, and the gainsayers couldn't speak against. I mean, they probably did. They probably told their lies. They probably, you know, but really, they couldn't come against what they were saying.
Right.
You know.
And the things God gave them to say, we have today.
We have today.
Yeah. We have today. Yeah. You know, because they were recorded down. They were remembered because they were Holy Spirit inspired. Mm-hmm. Some of those things, anyway.
And what I would like to read in Acts is how they captured Peter. And 15 Christians went in and beat the tar out of the soldiers and shoved swords through them and took Peter out. That's what I like to read. That's what I like to watch at the movie theater. But that's not what happened.
Yeah.
What happened? No. I mean, what happened was not very good in the short run. In the long run, it was great.
Right.
Because their testimony that they got to give, like Stephen's, there's no greater testimony recorded in the Bible than Stephen's in Acts. He goes from Abraham to Moses, up to the present day.
He gives the cliff notes.
Yeah.
He gives the summary.
And what was happening? They were stoning him to death.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. Anyway. Not to put down fighting for freedom, fighting for your family. I mean, obviously, those things go without, you know.
Right.
If you've got a heart at all for God, you know, you're not going to let somebody come in and steal, you know, unless you're a wuss.
That's yours.
You know?
Right. Right. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his house, his possessions are undisturbed. Absolutely.
The thing is, you read about all these nations that have been disarmed in the past. And the things that were done, there's things way worse than death that they can do to your family and leave you watch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously nothing's going to happen unless God lets you. But I just, after reading that kind of stuff, it's like.
Yeah, there's some bad stuff. You know.
Well, guys, we got the phone lines ringing. So let's go to the phone lines and we'll come back to this. Maybe we'll stay with this. Good morning. Thanks for holding and thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Well, thanks very much, Richard. This is Robert calling.
Hi, Robert.
How are you doing?
We're doing good. Hey, Robert, can we pour you a cup of coffee?
Yeah, absolutely. Keep it nice and black.
Here you go. All right. Nice and black. That's a jumbo-sized cup there. So, welcome to coffee.
Thanks. Is it organic blend? Because that's what I prefer.
It is. It's an organic blend.
It's not Starbucks, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's not Starbucks anymore, that's for sure. But it is an organic blend handpicked by Juan Valdez himself in the mountains of Chile. And anyway.
And his wife Maria is there too, I guess.
Probably, yeah. She helps roast the beans. So, what can we do for you today, Robert? How are you?
Doing fine, thanks. Surviving and trying my best to fight the good fight.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm just calling in regards to the latest Dragon Slayer. Really excellent, especially the beginning there. John talks about Ezekiel 5, verses 1 through 4.
Yes.
And, you know, in my years, I must have just skimmed over that. I never took it to heart. I never really in-depth looked at it and read about it. But, I mean, that's definitely something to really delve into. Well, let me read it in case anybody out there has never read it or has forgotten it. But it goes like this, Ezekiel 5, 1 through 4. As for you, son of man, take a sharp sword, take and use it as a barber's razors on your head and your beard. Then take scales for weighing and divide the hair. One third you shall burn in the fire at the center of the city when the days of the siege are completed. Then you shall take one third and strike it with the sword all around the city. And one third you shall scatter to the wind. And I will unsheath the sword behind them. Take also a few in number from them and bind them in the edges of your robe. And take again some of them and throw them into the fire and burn them in the fire. And from it, a fire will spread to all the house of Israel. So, I mean, that is really, that's really cutting it, you know, lean.
So, makes you strive a little more, don't it, to try to make that cut?
Yeah, well, I was just saying to myself, let that just be, you know, a warning for all you out there. Don't shave your beards, and don't shave your hair. Keep a full beard and plenty of hair. That was a joke.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, that was a good one too, Robert.
but yeah, that's very, that's enlightening to really, you know, cut it that thin, you know, a message like that.
Well, iron sharpens iron like one man sharpens another man. Kyle brought that message and brought up the remnant, and for some reason it just clicked when I was reading that. So praise God for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, just another change on the subject. I was thinking in regards to, you know, the revolution. when we went against the British in the early formation of America, and how the preachers were so active. And basically it was through them and their leadership that really they sparked it. And, you know, nowadays, where are the preachers? I mean, they're all 501Cs, they're all neutered, they're not saying anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not really, you know, stepping up to the plate.
No, not at all. They're in bed with the whore, you know, just like the Bible says will be in the end times, in the time of Babylon. I remember it was just a week or two ago, Pastor mentioned in one of the Sunday church sermons that the last war this country won was that war.
Yeah, it was 1776.
Because the preachers
approved it. Yep.
Approved it and called for it. And that is one of the biblical laws of warfare, is that, you know, the prophet, the priest, has to call for it. They're the ones that called for it. And that was the last, basically, godly war that was a true war. I mean, there was War of 1812 and a few others as well that were more skirmishes.
Yeah, and you could count on your hand the amount of preachers and churches that are not 501c3s. You know, I would say, look, maybe 99% are,
right,
you know, the 501c3s. And basically, they gave up their First Amendment. If they give up their First Amendment, they're going to give up their Second Amendment, too.
And
they're all for.
Right, and they keep going from there. Right, and they
Don't
think
you know
they keep them.
To render to Caesar what is Caesar's? Come on, Robert.
Absolutely. Yeah, and everybody renders to Caesar around this time of year, right? April 15th.
Yeah.
So, all right, fellas, you have a good day.
Thank you, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Good call.
It is a good call. You know, he brings up some good points.
Well, can you imagine a day when you got preachers proclaiming the gospel news with a sword on their side, whatever that sword happens to be? You know, because now you have, which most of them are children of the devil, ministers of the devil, but there's some that just walk in fear. They walk for money. I mean, they have these other purposes other than to preach the gospel.
Yes.
You know, so anybody in the Caesar's army could come up to them and say, "You're under arrest," without even worrying about it. These little effeminate, you know, give everything they got to Caesar or whatever, people even fighting them, you know, so they're not even going to get the gospel word out, because they're going to be arrested first, because, you know, they don't even have to worry about them fighting back, you mm-hmm. know, because they're too effeminate, or they're working for the other side, or you know, whatever the purpose is, you know. Back then, in those days, when this country was formed, men were still men, you know,
yeah.
And they knew there was going to be a fight on their hands, or they were going to try to take their freedom, their liberty, away from them. You know, just.
And there's still a few men.
There's a few, here. Yeah.
That remnant is still there. God has always had that remnant there.
Yeah.
And we have to remember, too, in the days of the Revolutionary War, 3% of the population was who fought for America. 3%. You know, it's like in the days of Elijah, you know, those pastors were preaching that from the pulpits, you know, they'd preach it and throw their robe off, and they'd be standing there in a uniform of the Continental Army and have a musket with them behind the pulpit. And, you know, but it wasn't like all the church rose up with them.
Right.
You know, it was like in the days of Elijah, you know, hey, if you're gonna, you know, serve God. If God is God, serve him. If it's Baal, serve him. And I think it was in that day as well, a lot of the remnant stood up. Yeah. And a lot of the people just waited to see how it worked out.
The fine line or the line to cross, you know, like you have Peter who cuts the guy's ear off in Gethsemane. Christ rebukes him. Of course, this is before the day of Pentecost. This is before certain things were activated. But at the same time, you had Peter doing that then, and then later, you don't read about Peter cutting anybody's head or ear off or nothing, you know. And we all know that he was you know, martyred. You know, so the fine line comes in is, what do you do and when? And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in.
Well, you read it earlier.
Absolutely.
Don't meditate on what you're going to say. I think you could apply that to don't meditate on to
what you're going
to do. What you're going to do.
Yeah. Well, in the first place, comes, everything you meditate on what you're going to do usually doesn't come to pass anyway.
Right.
You know, people love to lie to themselves, and situations bear up different things sometimes. But it's always a fine line of, you know, because you still want to think. You still want to prepare. Like John said earlier, you know, we still have brains. You know, we want to use it. We want to think ahead. We want to try to be ready for whatever situation comes up.
Sure.
You know? But when it all boils down to it, we got to pray for understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and we need the Holy Spirit to guide
Absolutely.
Him.
Amen.
You know, the Ecclesiastes comes to mind. There's a time for everything under the sun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time that we're supposed to fight, and there's a time that we're not, you know.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I think there comes a time
There's
where...
There's a time to die for what you believe in.
If God says you're going to be a martyr, then guess what? You're going to be a martyr.
Like Pastor... You know, there is a time to die for what you believe in. Pastor used to always say, but I'd rather live. You know?
Yeah. I'd rather they die.
Yeah, I'd rather be a time for them to die for what they believe in. Let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Yeah. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to be here. Andre in Connecticut here.
Good morning, Andre.
Yeah, I agree with Kyle, and I like the part about them, you know, cutting down the soldiers and stopping them and doing all this kind of thing. You know, I love that stuff. I think most of us do, really. But anyway, interesting to read in the news wire about the proposed disarmament of the elderly. I think that's going to be their first really big mistake. You know, the elderly have actually a lot more reason to stand and fight because they have a lot less to lose. They've already lived. You know,
yes,
many of them to whom I've spoken drew their line in the sand a long time ago.
Yeah.
And they say that line is still here and even more so. You know?
Well, you know, when you're a Christian,
there's going to be nothing more lethal than a well-armed elderly gentleman or grandma who knows how to use a weapon. She's going to be more determined.
Right.
And a Christian, more determined to take down as many as possible, make every shot count. We don't want to waste ammunition because the government needs it. You know, we've got to help them out where we can. And of all the asinine proposals, it's incredible what these people come up with.
Yeah.
It really is amazing.
Andre, they are. They're creatures of instinct. They cannot resist. They can't stop. You know,
they
Pastor,
just assume sting the frog in the middle of the stream and drown themselves.
That's right, Pastor. That's all right. Pastor taught on that. They cannot help it. You know, they think differently than we do. They just continue on and on. They want, like you said, to disarm the elderly. They want to disarm the returning veterans coming back from their war.
Of course, they want to use these things.
Yeah, they want to now classify, you know, our youth as having mental disorders like ADHD and autism and different things like that. 20-30% they want to classify as that. Well, if they classify you as having a mental illness, you can't have a firearm. So,
well,
you know,
they're just going to leave 3% of us. They're just going to leave 3% of us to do the business. That's
yeah.
All,
well, their intent is to go 100%. But
yes.
You know, God sits in the heavens and He laughs.
That's
and
right.
You know, they that line's coming.
Quite an advantage to be a Christian and know that
definitely,
worst case scenario,
definitely.
You got a dirt nap.
That's right.
Hey, there's nothing like a fearless man armed with the word of the Lord and a well-oiled rifle.
Amen.
Amen.
So, amen, gentlemen. I'm going to keep listening. Hope a lot of guys call in this morning. We get some good talk going. It's great to be here this morning. God bless you all.
Thanks, Andre.
Thank you, Andre.
Have a good weekend. You know, I think it comes back to, let's go back to that Faith Hall of Fame. Time will fail if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David and Samuel and the prophets, and the things that they did. You know, we think of Gideon and, you know, his weapons of warfare. His weapons of warfare were basically to stand there and to be on the side that God wanted him to be on. And when he finally, with his 300, goes against the enemy, God just makes the enemy kill each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that happened time after time after time. You know, David. David had his weapons, but his greatest weapon was he had a heart for God.
Right.
And he wanted God's will to be done.
All you got to do is read Psalms 91 and you get empowered, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
That's why we keep the 91st days, and that's why we make sure we keep that door day.
Right.
Which, by the way, you have a second chance to keep in May 2nd if you miss the April 2nd.
That's right.
We'll continue to proclaim that.
My favorite, well, I don't know favorite, but the two verses that you're right at the doorstep of reading, 33 and 34, that says it all. To go ahead and read it reads better out of the New American Standard. So.
In Hebrews 11?
Uh-huh.
Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. By faith.
By faith.
By faith.
And with faith, you have action, otherwise it ain't faith.
Right.
You know? But, you know, it talks about weakness here. How, you know, we think of those men as strong men. That's all, you know, when I read about those men, I think
Gideon,
of strong men.
Gideon,
you know?
And David.
But the Word of God says, out of weakness, they were made strong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's probably talking about, it's probably comparing their power in the world, in the flesh, compared to the other powers that they were going to.
Right.
You know, because we all know Samson was a strong man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the same time, our weakness can be made strong. We can put foreign armies to flight, you know. Or the King James says, at the end it says, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. I mean, that's how the King James reads it, you know what I mean? And they are aliens, you know.
They are.
With snake people like Andre was talking about, you know, they'd rather sting the frog and drown in the water as try to live, because they have a different purpose here on this world than we do. And but our weakness can be made strong, just like these men that we, in our minds, when we picture these men, they probably have more chiseled muscles than they actually had. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, because we picture, at least I picture, these just unbelievably
right.
strong men.
Well, you think of David, I think anyway, of David and Goliath. You know, David was a youth. You know, I have boys that are youths. You know, they're not grown into men. They're not, like you said, the big, you know. And then you contrast that with Goliath. You know, what, 7 foot tall, 9 foot tall, however tall he was. You know, huge, a man of war. You know, scarred and you know, filthy in language and in appearance, and just his appearance would, you know, scare the bejeebies out of the normal person.
You think of Pastor Peters, not a very big man.
No.
But strong.
Yes.
I mean, strong. I mean, we're talking, he's the only man I've ever seen put foreign armies to flight, you know, made them shake in their boots. I mean, when you think of the world order, the things that they did against him, whether it was Newsweek, whether it was whatever it was, you know.
A multifaceted attack.
He was at what, 150-pound man, 160 maybe? I mean, not a very big man.
Well, they called him the most dangerous man in the world.
Absolutely.
At one point.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to remember.
And it's the power of God. Let's go back to the phone lines.
Truth. Truth is such a weapon.
It is. Good morning. Thanks for joining us on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys. Brian here.
Hi, Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
How y'all doing?
We're doing well. We're doing
great.
Well, Brian. Brian, you sound like you need a cup of coffee. Hey, let me.
Actually, I do.
Here you go. How about that?
All right.
That's about a medium size. That's about, I think, all you
good.
Needed this morning. So.
That's your new toy.
Good morning.
Just got up about a half an hour ago, so.
Yeah.
Trying to get my voice here.
Me too.
you in Montana this morning?
Yes, sir, I am. Yep, we have a little rain out here. Snow's gone pretty much in the lowlands. Anyhow, Kyle, you know, on your thought there that, you know, just like the Bible says, that when Israel left Egypt, there was no weak among them or no sick. And I was sitting here trying to find, I did a study with the group that I have a Bible study with every Sunday morning. We have our own little fellowship, giving up on all these churches around here. But
good for you.
We were doing a study a couple weeks ago, and it had to do with, and I can't find where it's at. Maybe one of you guys can think of where it's at. But it's worded something like, the feeble will do great exploits as David. And I was thinking it was Nehemiah or Zephaniah, and I was trying to find it, and I can't find it. But maybe, thought maybe one of you guys come up with where it was at. Does that ring a bell?
It does not to me, but...
No, not up to me. Well, anyhow, there was a scripture. It had to do with Latter-day prophecies, and I thought it was in chapter 3. And anyhow, starting in verse 8 here, it says, therefore, wait upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for the determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms and pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. So, once again, I mean, who's going to do it? By faith, the Lord's going to do it. But he's looking for the Davids to stand up to the Goliaths.
Amen.
And,
amen.
So that day is coming. You know, I kept...
Oh, yeah.
I kept up hoping to be, years ago when I was a little bit younger and more eager. And like the last caller says, that, hey, watch out for these guys who are turning seniors now, that we've been waiting for a long time.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, in the days of Acts that I talked about earlier, that was the beginning of the end times. See, we're at the end of the end times. So things are going to be a little different, you know, as that kingdom, the real kingdom, the kingdom. Yes, we're in the kingdom of God, but the kingdom that we're all striving for, where we can live, you know, and serve God and have his law, statutes, and judgments here in this land. I mean, that kingdom is going to happen someday, and like you said, as they came out of Egypt, maybe our old and our weak and our the ones that we don't think are much have much fight left in them. Maybe they'll get to have that that last hurrah or whatever you want. I mean, who knows?
Oh, I absolutely believe it because, like I said, when I found that one scripture, we were jumping around the. It's in one of the minor prophets. Books here, but it just jumped right out at me where it says, even the weak among you will do mighty exploits as David. And I went, hallelujah.
Yeah,
that's praise God, because I'm not getting younger, you know.
Right.
And it's like, I want to fight for my children, my freedom, as you said. But I think that day is near upon us. You know, speaking of the Faith Hall of Famers, you guys remember the, I'm sure you do, the sermon that Pastor Pete did on the Faith Hall of Famers,
mm-hmm. Right?
And he was bringing up. He says, "Now who's not in this list that should be in this list?" And I kind of pondered that. I'm going, "Well, please tell me." And he says, "John the Baptist." I went, "Wow, really? Good point." You know, and that was a great sermon that he did. Well,
yeah,
we sure missed Pastor Pete, and you guys too. And God bless y'all this morning. Thanks for being there.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Oh, bye-bye.
Yeah, I don't know which exactly message he was talking about, but the Portrait of Faith Pastor Peters talks about the Faith Hall of Fame, and then he goes into John the Baptist, and it not only is it a fiery message, you know, and it gives you a lot of truths, but he makes you think, you know, he gives you faith. Let's put it that way. He exhorts you, he edifies you, he gives you faith. When you get done listening to that message, you feel like going out and, you know, serving the Lord and fighting for your liberties and, you know, everything that you're supposed to, you know, feel mm-hmm. like. You know?
Amen. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for calling in to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hello, Richard.
Good morning, Cal.
Hello, brothers. Cal, you sound like you got a little more spark this morning.
Yeah, I was fascinated to be proud of me. I made the coffee. It's so strong, man. The spoon stands up.
That's the way he liked it.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Anyway, I was laying in bed the other night thinking after that fellow had called about the gal wanting to be baptized and my 2 cents worth. And then I got thinking, remember where Christ was making reference to the Pharisees or the sinners who were making pretend, but in their hearts, they were committing adultery, and it was just that they haven't had the occasion to do it physically. They've already done it in their heart. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, wait a minute. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as dividing the soul and spirit of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Now I understand, I think, and you guys, that's what I'm calling for, a little input, when these situations where they've had people who are bedridden were given a chance to repent and be so-called born again, but didn't have the opportunity to be baptized, it was probably their intention. And I think those deathbed salvation situations are probably because they would have done it if they could.
It's just tough to go there, Andre, because, you know, if you can't prove it by the word, it's just really tough to go there, you know.
Yeah. But I know what you're saying, Cal. It does. It you know, some things, you know, there again, whether it's just that faith has to come in, like Kyle said, you know, it is. You just don't, you know, grandma that maybe never heard any of this until her deathbed.
Right.
You know, we see through the glass darkly right now. You know, we have understanding from what we've seen and what we've been taught. And you know, how can we go outside of that? You know.
Richard, I was measuring it more or less by myself. I understood when I finally hit my skull. I said, "Well, man, I got to call these guys over there, this guy over there, and see if he'll baptize me." And sure enough, he did. You know. Mm-hmm. I made the effort, and it made sense, and I was glad to do it. But suppose when somebody's living alone or something like that and haven't had the opportunity, I do believe, well, I'm not trying to put words in Christ's mouth, but
sure,
if they were all possible, they would do it. And just the opportunity hadn't reached them before they died.
That's where grace comes in, I think. But as the stewards, you know, and as teachers of the word, we can't teach something like that unless we can back it up with scriptures. I think what Kyle's
okay.
saying.
Yeah, right. And you know, and God is so, well, he's the Merciful. Almighty God. I mean, yeah. He can give you the opportunity when it can still be done. And maybe that's where we come into play, because, you know, is it beyond us to pick a man up out of his sick bed, dying bed, and take him into the bathtub and baptize him, you know? But yet, there's been times in my life, and I can remember the pastor talking about this once because it really hit home with me, is you know, if he would have just went to that hospital or went to that sick person and just did the job, you know, before he died. You know, I mean, we have an obligation
yeah.
there,
yeah.
you know, because
yeah.
I've passed the buck a couple times in my life where I think back and I think, I should have just went over there, you know, so the guy couldn't walk, you know, I could have got him to the tub. I could
yeah.
have got him submerged.
Yep.
You know,
don't they have to want to though, Kyle?
Yeah, they do.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not. But here's what I'm thinking. I'm not even sure they didn't want to. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't present him with the opportunity that maybe I should have. You know,
right?
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I think that if at all possible, the person was willing. But it didn't happen for whatever reason. I would imagine that that it's up to yeah. up to the Lord to take care of that problem.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, you know, if we understood everything about God and you know, had it figured out, like maybe algebra, you know, we know
yeah.
A squared equals B squared plus C squared. I mean, we know that. But, you know, there's some things with God that, you know, he's God.
He
you know,
you have just a scenario. The person dies. They didn't get baptized, but they wanted to. You know, and then you have the somebody in the family or a friend saying, well, what are you saying about them? They're going to hell. You know, no. We're saying the gospel is for the living.
Right.
You know, and that's where what John said, grace, mercy, for, you know, pray for that.
That's right.
You know, yeah. Pray for that.
And we've heard that, you know, that exact
but
thing.
But you just
that said,
can't teach that.
That because, you, know, you know, you're, oh yeah, grandma wasn't baptized. And, right. And well, you know.
What are you saying about
maybe,
my dad?
Maybe
know,
or, this yeah. wasn't presented to your dad or to grandma, yeah. but guess what? It's presented to you.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It is.
Oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. In fact, that was my thinking. There was no excuse for me not to be baptized. It was in the Word, and I had to go do it.
Amen.
And that was it.
Amen.
Another controversial subject is those that are baptized for the one that passed, you know. That's another one where you can't, I don't know that you can actually preach that's the truth or
well, there's
fact.
One. Well, there's one verse in the Bible that says baptized
right.
for the dead, you know.
Right.
And I know a pretty good man who
I know.
Who got baptized for the dead, you know, because,
Amen.
Hey, if there's a chance.
It's not a know? Sin.
No.
Exactly.
It's not a
right.
sin. Right.
Always
yeah,
there in
okay.
the favor of, you know.
Amen. Amen.
Grace and mercy
thanks.
And God's word. So.
Hey, thanks for the call, Cal.
Thanks.
You know, the
thanks,
other
Ken.
Thing people don't
all right,
realize
thanks,
is,
Cal.
Is all these pools anymore, they're all set up for ADA. So if you could even get the person in a wheelchair into a pool, they got those slings that'll lower them down in the water.
Right. You know, we did. So, Pastor I mean, did that in Branson several years ago. We had a lady come
yeah.
in a wheelchair. Because the Branson, they had a little elevator, a little mini elevator. And I remember riding down and up with her in the wheelchair and did that very thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well guys,
anybody
we gotta...
listening, no matter what it is, if you can't find somebody to baptize you and we can't find one of the brethren to baptize you, you let us know.
Amen.
And we'll make
yep.
sure you get baptized.
Amen.
No matter what the cost is to the ministry. So.
Amen. Let's go
well,
back.
Well, the blessings would be great. Sorry, Richard.
Absolutely. Sure.
I mean.
Yeah.
The cost is irrelevant. The blessings that the ministry
exactly.
would
that's
get
what
for
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's we got
don't,
one more.
Don't make finances a reason why you don't get baptized.
Right. Good morning, caller. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Coffee.
Yeah, is it me?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Vance in Little Africa over here. that guy called in and he was talking about where it talks about the feeble would be like King David.
Right.
Just a little, you know, a little something for anybody that you know, if you can come up with one word or even a two-line phrase, if you look up this called Bible Suite, SUITE, and it's by Biblos, and it'll show you exactly where it shows up in every verse. And I looked it up, and it's Zechariah 12:8.
Zechariah 12:8. Okay. Well, I know Brian's yeah. still listening in. So, Brian, Zechariah 12:8. That's
yeah. You thought it was
yeah,
Zephaniah, I think. So
yeah.
he's close.
Yeah. But, yeah
great.
If anybody's in a hurry to find something, you just punch in whatever the keywords are, and it shows you everywhere that it shows up.
Yeah. Thanks.
You're welcome. You guys have a good morning.
Thanks. You too.
You bet.
Yeah. The
that's what my little
we,
thing here.
Yeah, you have a little electronic Bible.
But
and,
the problem with that, mine's King James only.
Right.
So a lot
so
of the words, you know,
exactly.
are written,
yeah.
Know.
And, well, you know,
true,
we carry
yeah.
also for the New American Standard a Strong's Concordance. Many people don't realize what that is. That's a great Bible help. And it has a listing of every word. There's a Strong's for the King James. There's a Strong's for the New American Standard. And it lists every word. It has a definition. And everywhere that it's found in the Bible. Like Vance said, there's also many programs out there on your that you can put on your computer. We use BibleWorks, an older version, but it is that way. You know, Cal talking about like a deathbed type confession and things. I wanted to get to this. We're almost out of time, but I called John with this yesterday just a little bit. Had a phone call yesterday from a man on the ministry. He had immigrated here from Romania many years ago, and he came out to the church several years ago and got baptized. You know, we have a lot of people come out to the church over the years that have gotten baptized, a man speaks with an accent and talks about coming from Romania, and I recognized his name, and he had lived in New York and moved out to Oregon. He's in Portland now. And he's basically on his deathbed. Lung cancer, you know, the hospital sent him home, hospices come in. I spoke to him for a little bit, as much as he could talk yesterday. And, you know, I won't say that he's ready. You know, I don't know if any of us are ready, but I think he's as ready as he could be. He said, we all have our duty to do, and I want to do my duty. And, you know, I took that as wanting to finish well. You know, his faith was not wavering. You know, when I talked to him, he just wanted to, you know, he wanted to talk with someone from his church. His friend that has opened his house up to him and is helping him along, I spoke with him and I just wanted to share that out. The man's name is Mike, and I just wanted to put that out there to the remnant that, you know, keep Mike in your prayers out in Portland, Oregon. You know, if it's his time, it's his time. We all have a time, as was mentioned earlier in Ecclesiastes. There is a time for all things. You know, there's a time to be born, and there's a time of life and of joy and happiness and all that. There's also a time of death. But for the Christian, for the baptized, believing, obedient Christian, it's not that it's easy, but I sure sensed a peace in just talking to him. And you know, we'll continue to do whatever we can do to help Mike and his friend out there that's helping him. But I just wanted to share that because it, you know, it again, it brings it home. You know, this is, you know, this is the Christian faith in action being applied, which really is what the faith is.
The world thinks we're in the land of the living, heading to the land of the dead, but the Christian knows that we're in the land of the dead and heading to the land of the living.
Good way to put it. Yeah.
Yeah. Very much so. Very much so. So, well, guys, we are almost out of time, and we always like to invite you to church, Remnant. Anyone that's listening in on shortwave, WTWW shortwave station, or on the internet at scriptures4america.org, or even the network website, sfawbn.com. You can listen at all those places. But we invite you to church tomorrow. We have church services on Sunday morning, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and that's noon on the East Coast, so that way Chris can sleep in and still catch church. But we do invite you there. We'll start out with a scriptural review of the news at 10, and at 10:30, John will come on with a welcome and an introduction, so you get to see John and hear from John. And we'll have some
good
music.
Got a good one for tomorrow.
Good, good. You have a good one every Sunday, John. So
and I talked to Jason, and he's got a excellent message with the times that we're in, so
good.
Don't miss it.
Good. They've been, and that's the thing is, you know, we're, and then we'll have a Holy Spirit inspired message by Pastor Peters that regardless of when it was preached, we're finding that the Holy Spirit is doing just that. The Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and having it so that these messages that are coming out, they are, you know, people call in and say, this was preached to the Tea Party last week is how they're being accepted. And it is,
well, it's just like the Word of God.
It is, because that's what they're based on. Yeah. So, again, we thank you for joining us for coffee. And we're going to go out with this song. It's called Snakehide. Pastor sure liked it. And hope you do, too. We'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 Snakehide. This country's stolen, keep on rolling over snake hide. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide.
Ride them out, ride them more!
Snake hide!
Snake hide!
moving, moving, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.